Praise the name of Jesus. How many of you got a deer already? I know one. Praise the Lord. God is awesome. You know, it's awesome to be alive in this day and age where you see the hand of God moving mightily in governments and all over the world, and it's going to go more and better and better. So don't give up hope, because God is our only hope. He has given us hope, because in this world we will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. So we need not to fear. We need to lean on Jesus, our only hope, our only God, our only Redeemer. That's through the precious blood of Jesus. That's our protection. And you got to remember, Satan is out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy you and me. He will not rest. But thank God, he can't touch you and me. And if you're living today as a child of God, there are certain things where the devil can get to you, even as a Christian. Pay close attention. It's not all clear. Sure, the Lord saves you. Sure, he saves us. But there is something that you and me have to do to walk that pathway to protect you from the enemy. Because you have been saved by his grace, the salvation has been done. It's been given to you by God, to me, freely. The free gift of life, God made sure it's out of our reach when it comes to salvation, because you accept it by faith and he does the work, because he's the one that only knows, he's the one that can save you, nobody else can. And that's the holiest of all, the holiest of holies, where Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, abide in you, your spirit man. And we have to remember, without that you cannot fight the devil. That's why God first saved you. He equipped you and me so we can fight and abstain, and that's what we have to do. That's work. It's a war. We are in war with our own self, to war against the flesh and the things of this world. And we have to remember, we're so used, when before we're born again, we are used to living for the devil. That is our nature. And the work is so extreme, it's so harsh sometimes, because the devil just won't let go, because you're used to the old lifestyle, and that's what you have to work on. The Lord just doesn't take it away. You have to train yourself to listen to the Lord. You have to learn yourself to turn and accept the Lord's way of operating. And I'm going to go into Romans. The book of Romans is a very interesting book. Without understanding Romans, we miss the mark, because it tells you the way it is. Romans 1 tells us the world system, the world that God has showed every person on this world that he exists, that he's alive. They are all without excuse. Even the eternal power of God, that they are without excuse. God showed it to them. And you know, when we see all the sin rampaging around us, homosexuality, gay, lesbian, whatever you name it, that is the devil, that's the world. And God says, God give them over to a reprobate mind. And in Romans 2, it proves us that we're all guilty before God, that you cannot save yourself. There is not one person on the face of this world that's not guilty before God. We are guilty. And in Romans 3, you go in and Paul describes how depraved we are, the way our nature is, and how we can come out of it. It's only by the grace of God, by turning to Jesus for salvation. That's why Jesus came. And in Romans 4, it tells you by faith is the only way you can obtain this. You cannot work for it. It's a free gift. And in Romans 5, it calls it the free gift God has given you freely. Like in Romans 5, Brendan can put that off. Romans 5 in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's God's work. He did that. He did it all through Romans. Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, God through the power of the Holy Ghost, through Paul's writing, he pinned it out, the depravity of mankind and how we can get out of it. And once God has given you and me that free gift of life, that you're saved, there's a battle on. Now it's not all roses, because there is something we have to work on. And I'm going to go into Romans 6 this morning. The Lord laid it upon my heart years ago. And I preach it not because I see it. I've lived it. I've been there. Trust me. I know there are some people that have been there too. I've been there. I know how it is to live a life that is not pleasing to the Lord as a Christian. It's not very good. You're going to get nailed all the time. There is no victory. There is no joy, because there's one part in the word. There's one part in the world. And you have to determine what you're going to feed the most. That's what's going to come out. If you feed your soul and your spirit with the word of God, you'll prosper. If you feed yourself with the things of this world, of the devil, you're going to be destroyed. Trust me. It's that simple. That's the way it works. And before we get into this message, into Romans 6, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we cannot bring this word out except you are there, Lord, and I ask you to guide my lips to bring it out. It's very simple and to the point, Lord, and I ask you to anoint this message. I ask you to join the people, those that are listening here and those that are on YouTube, or rumble, Lord, that you will open their eyes of ears and understanding what you mean by this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I always love Romans. When I read Romans, I see myself. And as a Christian, it will take you apart when you just let the Holy Spirit react to it and show you what parts in you need to be improved, what you have to get rid of. And in Romans 6, when we read it, it says, what shall we say then? It's talking about the freedom in Christ. We are free. You have been set free. You have been totally set. You cannot be more free than you are as a Christian, because the thing is, we need to work on this freedom, because God equipped you and me to fight it and to change our lives. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I have heard a lot of people say, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. Of course you can. I can do too. But what do I want to do? I want to serve the Lord. But the thing is, they think the grace of God in a way that is pleasing to their flesh. Sure, there's things God will allow because you're under his grace. He will not condemn you. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why do you want to live in that sinful nature once has cleansed you and has saved you and me, and all of a sudden it becomes not too good because that first love kind of fades away and you go into the things of this world? And that's how the devil gets you all the time. And I know what I'm talking about. He makes it look so nice. It's just like a kid with a candy, entices with a candy. Come here, I give you a candy. And that's the way the devil operates. He entices you slowly. He works and works till he gets you. Excuse me. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Just like God changed you and me, just like he saved you by the baptism, a sign when you got baptized that the old man, the old Steve, the old you was buried with Christ. And God gave you himself. He took the old out and he put the new on. Because he said you've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. What's the translation doing? It's the inner man, the inner you that has been changed, that has been born again. That's what he's talking about. He says that we're baptized. You were baptized unto Jesus Christ. What is Jesus to you? He's your Savior. He's your only God. He becomes and abides in you. You put him on, and that's proved by baptism. It's by circumcision in the Old Testament. By new, it's the baptism. Not that baptism saves you or washes you. It's a sign that the old man has been buried with Christ and that you have risen with him to the glory of God. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, because as he died, that old man, the old Steve, died with him. It's been done away. Then he says, it said, by Christ, by the baptism of death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's where we have to walk, in that newness of life, because God has put himself in you. He has saved you. Now you can walk like he walked, and that takes effort. It takes something that you have to train yourself. The first thing in the morning when you get up, trust me, get on your knees and go into the Word of God. Fill your heart, fill your spirit up, because the devil knows if he can get you away from the Word of God and from communicating with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got you. Because we become stale. You take water and leave it standing in the jug for years, you'll see how it is. It becomes stale. It's no good. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Trust me, the same death that he died on the cross, we died with him. That's the old man. That's what was crucified. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Just like he raised up, he raised you up. He filled us with his Holy Spirit, and he gave us the newness of his life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. It's not talking about the old man. It's talking about the old man in there. That old man was crucified at the cross. It has been done away. It took away, and that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now let's think about it. What is the old man? What is the old nature? Adam. That's what got us into the lake of fire. By his disobedience, that's why all mankind are guilty before God. We're all headed to the lake of fire. And that old man, when you turn to Jesus, is taking away, and he puts himself in there. That's why it is once saved, always saved. You can't change that. That stays. You've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. Never, ever forget it. Once that has been put in, he doesn't take it out. In no wise, no one will plug me out of your hands. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Even though that has been done, that all the flesh, the body, it's still the potential of this wicked world, and our nature, it's still there. That's why we have to crucify that yourself. That's why you have to put this down. You have given the power to rebuke it, to say, devil, this is not my thought, this is yours, in the name of Jesus, back off. That he that is dead is freed from sin. Are you free from sin this morning? Have you died? Yes, if you're born again, you have died. Even though you will fall into sin, but that's beside of God, doesn't see that sin. You have been forgiven. God looks at the cross. My child is forgiven. You ask, and then if you see it and you acknowledge it, you turn to God. These who confess their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. It's continuing. He's totally reminding us to get it into our spirits that God sees you as a purchased possession. You cannot sin. In 1 John, it tells us in 5, 1 John chapter 3, which says, he that is born of God cannot sin. Why? Because his seed remains in you. He cannot sin. He's talking about the spirit man. You cannot sin against God. That has been sealed and done for. You cannot back out of this. That's why. That's what Paul is talking about here. We are totally and completely protected and saved. And the thing is, we have to work on that, to live for the Lord. There's a verse in Psalm I got this morning. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I kept thy word. As a Christian is talking about, I went astray. I got afflicted. And a lot of times when we walk in the flesh and we live for the devil, and you wonder why there are so many diseases, why there are so many sicknesses among you. In 1 Corinthians, you can read where many are dead, many asleep because of the sin lifestyle they are walking, because God will take you away, because you cannot handle sin. I cannot handle sin. That's why Jesus had to die for you and me. And if we do not, and we accept, if we don't insist to walking in this darkness, if you do not listen, God will take you out of here. Trust me, because it's going to destroy you. Because it's not good to live in the flesh. And that's why the Holy Spirit keeps prompting on your heart and soul and spirit, because He loves you. It's not that He hates you. He loves you immensely. He wants you in heaven more than you want to go, because that's why He saved you and me. Because if we do not live for Him, it hurts Jesus. It hurts Him mightily, because He went to the cross. He took everything upon Him and set us totally and completely free. Now, if we live for that, we say, Lord, You're not good enough. I don't want You. No, that's not good, because we're hurting the Holy Ghost who has sanctified us. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we should live with Him. Excuse me. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. He died once, just once. Death has no more dominion over Him. I was talking about Jesus here. For in Him that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remind yourselves daily what you are in Christ. Let the devil know and the world know that you are a child of God, that you are indeed alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because the name of Jesus is the only thing that keeps the devil away. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies. Now he's talking about the work that you have to do. Don't let it reign. Paul said, I can do all things. To me, everything is lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. So that way, I will not touch it, because it can overtake you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now he's really coming down to it. You start feeding on something, we'll go into pornography. You watch it once, you watch it twice, all of a sudden, the hook is there. Not only pornography, anything that is not kosher, anything that is not right in the sight of God, he takes you, and all of a sudden you start obeying the lusts, because the devil is working through the flesh. He entices you and me, and all of a sudden we see it. Oh, it's so nice, just like Adam and Eve. He came to them. Did God say that you're really cleansed? Did God say that you will do this and you will die? No, that's not what he meant. You can eat it, right? It won't hurt you. Your eyes will be open. Sure, your eyes get open, I tell you. When you go into sins, you are open how horrible it is. He didn't tell them that. The minute they ate that fruit, what God forbid them not to, their eyes were open. All of a sudden, they see, saw they were naked. All of a sudden, they saw the sin. They tried to hide from God. See, that's the whole problem. That's why God is so much after a godly living, because for only protection. We need to realize the devil does not care. He will entice you till he has totally and completely killed you and me. That's his whole aim. So neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Be careful, brethren. Be careful, those who listen to YouTube, how you yield your instruments. What does he talk about your instruments? Your hearing, your smelling, your feet, your hands, whatever you call your whole body. Instead of using it for the Lord, you're using it for the devil. Don't yield to that. For sin shall have no more dominion over you, For you are not under the law, but under grace. You have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You are not under the law. But, he says, but then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. He makes it very clear. Guys, you are not that tough. It takes Jesus to save you. It takes Jesus to protect you. And that's why. Devour it. Read it. And live it. The devil has no weapon against the word of God. He said, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. He's talking to the church. If we yield ourselves, I know I've been there, yourself to the things of this world, whatever you feed, that's what you're going to come out of. You're going to reap destruction, and I mean destruction. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, that's the death, not a spiritual death, death from this world, you'll die, or obedience unto righteousness. If you want to be obedient, the righteousness of God will follow you wherever you go. But if you live for the devil, if you live for the world, you're going to get nailed all the time. And that's what he's talking about. We are vulnerable. We need the Lord Jesus Christ daily, not only once, every day, every minute, and the word of God. Because being made free, he says, from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Where does that righteousness come from? From Jesus, from God the Father. He gave you and me his righteousness. And when he looks at you, he sees you as righteous as Jesus himself, as God himself, through the blood of Jesus. And that's why it's so important. When you do not live for Jesus, you hurt him. You hurt his word. It grieves him. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Just as before you became a Christian, you naturally did everything evil, unrighteous living. We were like that. We shall understand each other. We, even as the unbeliever, we can understand the unbeliever. That's what they are. Don't be too harsh on them. They need to turn to Jesus. We need to realize they need that same help that you need it and I need it. It's the grace of Jesus. Because of the unrighteous living we were in, that was our nature. Now all of a sudden, we become Christian, we come to Jesus, and now we yield and yield our members unto the Lord. We do him service, not the world, not the devil. So what fruit had you then in those things wherefore you are now ashamed? Are you ashamed of your past? Sometimes I am, when you look at it. The Lord graciously takes it away because you know we've done all this evil stuff. We know that because it was our nature. We are ashamed of even talking about it. And now we have been set free. Why? So we can set others free in the grace of God. Because they can't save themselves. They need Jesus as much as we need him. The end of those, okay, what fruit had ye then in those things? For before you are ashamed, for the end of those things is death. That's before you become a Christian. But now being made free from sin and became servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. That's your ticket. That is your future, is eternal life with Jesus forever. And if you're born again, you're going there. Trust me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have this gift today, if you are born again by the Spirit of the living God, you have nothing to fear. But one thing as a warning to every Christian, if you do not walk, if you do not walk according to the word of God and live for this world, be careful. God will take you away. And if nothing happens as a Christian, if you're not, maybe you're not a Christian, maybe there's nothing there. If you're not reproved by the word of God, if you're not reproved in the way of living as you call yourself a born again child of God, if there's nothing there, maybe you're not born again. Because I know when I was living for the devil as a Christian, I knew I was wrong. I knew I needed to change my life. And as an unbeliever, you're not born again yet. Here is my thing. Turn to Jesus now. The end is clear. The end is near. It's around the corner. Just as Christmas is around the corner within a couple of weeks, be assured the end of time times are here. Jesus might come. He can come today. Trust me. And he will not wait. I wonder if this guy is safe yet. Should I wait? No, it will not wait. You will have to go through the tribulation and suffer immensely. The church will not be here. It would not be as easy. Now is the day of repentance. Now is the day of grace. Turn to Jesus now. Give your life to him and be safe today. Don't push it off. Tomorrow may be too late. And when you turn to Jesus, you'll be blessed forever. And if you push it off, you will have to deal with the Antichrist. And the end results of that, by turning to the Lord there, you will be killed instantly. Just like deer hunting season, we're out to get the buck. It's an open season. The tribulation will be an open season against every Christian. Trust me. This is not a fear-mongering. This is what's going to happen. I'm just warning you as my beloved brethren, as my beloved people, whoever's listening, I want you to turn to Jesus. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing.